to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna J. White, and I am so glad that you are here with me today. You are on Wounded to Wonderful and Keeping It Real, your destination to have real life talk about real life things in real time with real people. We provide you with practical, evidence-based tips and tricks to build resilience, well-being, and unlocking highest performance to an empowered life. I'm your host, and we want to welcome you to today's topic, the journey through loss and grief. Now, today's guest, Maria Andrade, is going to keep you engaged and inspired. Welcome, Maria.
Hello, Edna. Hello, everyone. And I'm excited to be here. This is a very, very important topic, and it's not often discussed, especially out of your personal circle, right?
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do? Just, you know, tell us some good stuff. I know you got something great going on, so I just want to hear about it. The audience wants to hear about it. So just tell us. Just give us some insight into you.
Thank you. I identify myself as a woman of color. I'm a first-generation immigrant.
Okay.
I'm a mom. I'm a social justice fighter.
Right.
And I dedicate myself completely to, you know, social justice, minority issues, equality, criminal justice reform, education, and advocacy for marginalized communities. I do partake in certain organizations that actually have some of the same vision that I do.
Okay.
So a lot of my projects happened through that aspect. I'm lucky enough to be granted the opportunity to be at a table where I really care about a lot of the issues that are very dear to me, and I'm able to address them. That's mm-hmm. the important part.
Great. And I know how important it is to live out your community life and your advocacy, because I do the same thing. And it makes for a well-balanced person. You know, it balances out mom and wife and all of those things. It balances out, and it gives you an opportunity to share your part of your life and give back. So that's wonderful. That is really wonderful. So today's topic, we're going to talk about loss and grief. And we know that we all probably have, through this pandemic, gone through some loss and some grief. We've gone through death, and we also have gone through loss of, you know, friendships. We've gone through loss of jobs. We've gone through a lot of loss of, you know, just things in our lives. So we want to talk about that pain and kind of work through how it affects our lives in various points and various ways. So Maria, can you just like talk, let's talk about how, in general, if you can give us some experience of how loss has affected your life or a client's life.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we, how we operate, that we seldom talk about, is how we work through our pain, right?
Yeah.
We have the phase of, you know, we've got to get things done. Us warriors with so many hats on, we get the job done. We get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But the mental toll that that takes on our body.
Right.
And I was actually doing some research where you were thinking, that's not a loss. That's not really pain. I'm just exhausted.
Right.
Because you're absorbing all of these microaggressions on a daily basis.
That is correct.
That you have no real outlet unless, you know, you actually practice like meditation and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you from my point of view, I love meditation, but sometimes I even forget to do that.
Right.
Because there's deadlines. There's things that you have to do. And then you don't have sometimes the outlet to do so. So
right.
Instead, we are just conditioned to work through. We mm-hmm. work through pain day to day. We right. work through loss. We work through grief. And I was doing some research, and I found out that there, I'll get the number, I'll get the name of the theory, but the theory discusses that the same pain that you suffer when you're losing someone,
mm-hmm.
and you're only thinking, oh my God, you only lose someone when you lose them to death.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only grieving part that you have as a body. No, it's not. And there's
not
so
true.
Many other losses. If you lose a job,
right.
if you lose an opportunity, if you're betrayed by a close one, if you're betrayed by a family member, if
correct.
You're betrayed and, you know, looked over and how you feel that, right? We don't acknowledge those little feelings, those little hearts, and we just brush them off and continue on to the next thing. And we just pile up so much pain within us. And then that becomes stress balls.
Right.
And then our body just continues to adapt to a point where our body says, no more. And then sickness comes and all these things because your body's just used to processing in and out.
Right. It's correct. So what I'm hearing you saying is that loss sets an emotion into a motion of all kinds of lesser losses. So like you said, loss of what we know as loss in a life, we're shattered by that. And then we have a loss of, you know, a job or a loss of connection. We lose, there's little things in between the loss of, like say for death, we lose like the connection of that person. We lose, you know, we lose, just them being there, we lose that part. We lose the part that, okay, now what? How do I feel that? You know, we lose all. But there's so many losses in life in general that we don't believe that it's life altering. And you said something that triggered my thought. I see a lot of things that, you know, that people print and they talk about. I'm built for this. I'm built for that. You know, that you hear that all the time. And I'm like,
right.
What? You know, you got to be careful what you're built for, because are you really built for pain? Because, you know, I don't think, you know, God kind of intended us to be built for pain. I think he intended us to understand the effects of loss and then various points and ways kind of direct the focus on trying to change that trauma. So I'm honored that you said, you know, what you said. It's, you know, the effects of painful, you know, and we need to actually, let's talk about dealing with the pain. You know, we go through it, like you said, but then we don't acknowledge it and we don't express it. We're told not to acknowledge. So let's talk about acknowledging that. Let's talk about that, Maria. Acknowledging.
So, I'll give you my experience where I thought that it was actually normal. I came to a point in my life where, you know, I had the dreams. I wanted to go to school. I wanted to do this and fifth. But I made other choices. And then I ended up, of course, being with my family and raising two kids,
mm-hmm.
having the husband, having everything that, you know, that you think you want.
Right.
I
love that. Tweetable, think you want what you think you want. That's a tweetable right there.
But, you know, then it comes, of course, your culture.
Mm-hmm.
we often don't talk about how much our culture has to do with our expectations and what we are taught to approve. We are taught to embrace. We are taught not to ask questions. We are taught not to ask for help.
Absolutely.
And that took a long time for me to get out of, you know, an abusive relationship where I was not happy. And this is the first time that I've ever spoken about this.
Right.
And that's why I chose that topic, because I figured, I'm like, it's okay to talk about it now. Before, every time I would discuss this with my dear friends, I would not be able to finish a sentence.
Right.
The pain would just come through. But for me to be able to talk.
That's great.
And think, that's growth.
Yeah,
and it took.
Exactly.
It took a long time to do so.
And it took a lot of work from you. You had to work through it. You had to work through it. That's good.
You have to work kind of like backwards in your psychology.
Yes.
Right? Because you're like, everything that you know
is backwards.
Cannot get prepared to what, you know, life just throws at you.
Absolutely.
Life throws at you, you know, someone beating on you, someone, you know, disrespecting you, someone cheating on you. And
absolutely.
Then you're like, you know, we are taught that this is okay. We are taught that we don't ask questions. We are taught not to question, especially the male counterpart of our partners, right? But then you have to, then education is power.
Right.
So I didn't even know this when I left the father of my kids. I didn't know that I was broken. I just knew I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Then my then I went back to school and, you know, reinvented myself.
Mm-hmm.
And upon educating myself, that's when I found how broken I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to make a decision on stating, I'm broken. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maria, you're broken.
Right.
How do you fix you, Maria? How
yeah.
do we, and what is going to take to fix
right.
you, Maria?
Right.
And who cares enough to fix you?
Right.
And the only person that cares enough to fix you, it's most likely going to be yourself.
Yep.
Nobody else.
Absolutely.
However,
nobody.
You can ask for some help.
Right.
And there is helping hands, but we don't ask for help.
No. Nope.
Even when we can see all of these posters about X, Y, and Z,
right.
about really sensitive issues that many of us have gone through, and we don't open up because we don't want that attention brought upon us.
Right.
And then those of us that are our mothers, no, we don't want that attention for our children.
Right.
Because you know the connotation
yep.
that attention brings to your child in school.
Exactly.
Just one adult to hear that,
it's over.
Inevitably, they're going to look at it from a different view, whether you
it's
want
true.
To or not. You
it's
may.
True.
It's
true.
It's true, right?
It's true.
So when I learned how to operate, when my psychology professor told me, I wrote my briefing on, you know, things that impacted my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote that, and then they approached me and said, well, this is like a crisis calling. And I'm like, I didn't think so. And they're like, he said, Miss Andrade, you've been working through pain all your life.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I have?
Yeah, that's something that I'm used to. What are you talking about?
This is normal, isn't it?
Right. Exactly.
Because it's the mindset.
It
so,
is.
So, you have a good or bad day in work, the second you go through that door, you best put your best face on.
Right.
You best put whatever you need to do. Do whatever
right.
you need to do
mm-hmm.
so your kids don't see that.
Right.
Because at least you don't want your kids to see
right.
the trauma that you're enduring.
Right.
And then sometimes we also fail because we're also humans. So we also fail at that. And we can't hold it. And we're mad at the world. And
yep.
We're not mad at home. But then we run through that door and it's like, what is your problem?
Right, exactly. It spills out on everybody. It just spills
yeah.
out. Yeah.
So it's... Operating from pain.
Right.
Wow. Wow. And when I saw that, and then, of course, doing the research on how your body is responding to
yeah.
trauma, and you don't realize it. Those headaches.
Total dis-ease. migraine, total dis-ease against everything.
Absolutely. When you feel uneasy, when you feel X, Y, and Z, and you're like, oh no, it's just menstrual cramps, or it's just, I'm just having a bad day. That's your body telling you, like, you need to slow down. This is a lot of trauma.
It is.
It doesn't have to be physical violence.
No, it doesn't.
Because to an extent, even physical violence, you see it, you feel it, and then it goes away.
Right.
But when it's
Or you say it goes away,
yeah. But you'll stay in your mind.
Yep.
But when it comes to emotional baggage, emotional trauma, it takes years because sometimes you don't even want to think about that.
Right.
You don't even think of it because
it's built. It's built into the fabric of your being. It's kind of sewn into your soul. Like, so, you know, the loss, the trauma is so, you know, especially emotional things are sewn into your soul, which is your whole being. And you're like, oh, I'm late because that's just me. You're late because there's something else brewing behind the lateness. You know, there's a pain behind the lateness. I talk like this because it's just me. No, there's a reason why you talk like that. Something emotional that happened to you earlier, you're doing that. You know, a lot of it, and you're bringing out great points, a lot of it is fighting. You're just constantly, everything's fighting. And as we get older, and I know I'm probably older than you, maybe. You're probably older than you. And, I think I'm a little older. But when I was younger, I used to put on these faces for my kids and be real strong, and, you know. And losses of jobs, losses of relationships, losses of conditions. You know, we condition ourselves to be in a place. And then we don't meet that place, there's a loss. So no one really picks that up. Like, okay, I said in 2 years I was going to be off Section 8, and I'm not. That's a total whole loss right there. It's like, oh my gosh. So I said this to my children, you know, here I am. So now I have to acknowledge that, and by acknowledging it's not enough. You have to do, like you said, you have to wade through the pain. You have to start saying, okay, with each stroke, okay, I can't do that anymore. I can't put the face on. And I got to tell my kid, I got to be honest with my kids, because I don't want to pass this crap that I was taught to them. You know, this crap of being fake. And you know, I think you sound just like me. My church told me I had to stay with my abuser. And I'm like, what? You mean to tell me God wants me to suffer? Like, I couldn't wrap my head around that I'm supposed to suffer like that. Like, I'm supposed to be brutally hurt. So when I learned better, I did better. And I think acknowledging your pain and do better is the key. When you know better, you do better. Now we get to the part where we're at the loss, and now we want to be able to reprogram or change that expression of pain into something that is knowledgeable. How do we start converting that? How do we start changing that in small increments? How do we start doing that? Maria, is there anything that you could say that we can start converting that, you know, that attempt to honor our feelings and where we are in life?
So I was never so much a new religion person.
Yeah.
And then I started going to church, right? I was, my father is an atheist, so he doesn't really believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is Catholic.
Right.
So I grew with some sense of, you know, religion.
I knew that
you never do wrong, and but you couldn't ask for help. You just can't. You know, you're looked at.
No,
and it's understand and being okay with being different. learn to look in the mirror and say, I messed up.
Right.
I messed up. Okay. How do I fix this?
Mm-hmm.
A mistake does not define you. We are taught that mistakes define us.
Right.
A mistake.
Right.
Identified us.
Yes. We were taught that.
Tags us. That we are never going to be looked any other way but how we behave in a manner.
Right.
Oh, God forbid you misbehave. God forbid you do something.
Whoo! Yeah, right.
God forbid. You are the worst.
You're on the other side of hell or whatever it is that we're on that side. And we don't even know what the side was. We're on that side. Yeah, you're right. It's so
and
right.
You learn that it's not a big deal until you, like, you heal.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's not a big deal. Exactly.
Because when you're in the beginning and you're like, this is never going to get better.
Yeah.
I would have never thought that I would be in the place that I am right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I split with the kid's father, I had nowhere to go.
Right, right.
I had to go to mom's house.
Right, right.
And
yeah.
Deal with everything that you
hands
can
up.
Think
yes,
of.
Hands up. That's right.
Two, three jobs just to make sure that, you know, that I wasn't homeless.
Right.
Because if I didn't have those three jobs, then where would my kids go?
Right.
How am I going to afford X, Y, and Z?
Right.
And then you're taught to, okay, you struggle on your own. You keep struggling and you say nothing. You don't tell anyone.
Right. But struggling is supposed to be good for us. Struggle is good.
It's to make us grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can't ask for help because
don't do that.
You know the whole drama.
We're strong enough. We're strong.
How dare you ask for help?
Oh.
You asked for this upon yourself.
Absolutely. You know it.
And it's for me is I started healing again when I started going to church. I started listening.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing like some worksheets. I used to Google and I said, okay, healing practices. Just, you know.
Start doing it for yourself. You started gaining a relationship yourself. That's it.
I ended up being my own. My own
parent. Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
This is it.
I'm so glad you said that. I am so glad.
Hey, you can't afford a therapist. Therapists are $400 an hour. I can't do that. But, you know, I started watching some videos. I mean, YouTube has a
yeah, absolutely.
And then I also came across your stuff, your story, a couple of years back. And
really?
Now that I'm like putting two and two together, I'm like, I remember reading about this. I saw your interview last week or so,
mm-hmm.
and you mentioned some stuff, and I'm like, I remember reading about this, right? Because all you're glancing, you're just glancing, and it just gives you stories and stories.
Right, right,
stories.
Right.
But you're just reading. You're like, okay, if it applies to me, great. If it doesn't, then good.
Right.
And it's so amazing to finally get to say, wow, I'm meeting the person that I was looking at.
I didn't even know you knew. I honestly
we
didn't.
We read the broken stories.
Yeah.
We heal. Just by reading the broken stories,
yeah.
We heal because sometimes we don't even like to read out loud.
Right.
But as we're reading the stories,
mm-hmm.
we're listening, our minds are like, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
And so. your gut and your sixth sense kind of like just goes through like, okay, yeah, it makes sense. But when a message is not for you,
right?
There's something in your body that just rejects it.
Of course. And it's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be that way.
I am not a psychology major whatsoever, but I figured that.
It's supposed to be that way. We were made like that. You know, intuitively, we are spirit beings. So we are made. If something doesn't sound right, and I've always been like this, I'm like, that doesn't sound right. And I was always, my mother used to always like, your mouth is going to be the death of you. And I was like, I hope so, because I don't want to like be like everybody else. And I thank God it wasn't. But to have that intuition, and I like how you said, you went to church, but you start doing some kind of research yourself. You formed a relationship and an idea on your own, which was amazing. people don't get to that. You know, I spent 27 years in a church without a voice. I served without a voice. You can't serve without a voice. It's like telling an army, someone to go to the army and not shoot their gun. That's what it's like. You cannot serve someone without a voice. So if you don't have a voice, you can't serve. Loss makes you not have a voice. It makes you, like you said, put on this face that it's great and it's really not great. It's, you know, you're pretending all the way through. So imagine going through life, let's say 10 years, and you're going through life, and then all of a sudden you're like, I was faking way back then. And because of loss, something that you lost. I was talking to a new client of mine, and he lost his job 2 years ago, and then he tried, you know, he tried other jobs, but he was in his 50s, and he says, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm trying to put all of this together, and I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss. And I said, start grieving now. And he said, what? You know, he gave me the feeling, like, what? I was like, it's a loss. I said, that's a major loss. You're 50, and all the experience you had all of a sudden came to a sharp stop. It's a loss. So you have to grieve. You have to go through the process. And he said, I never thought of that. That's what's happening to me now. I said, exactly what's happening to you. So loss creates this whole grief. You know, you're not happy. Grief displays itself as not being happy. You could be having, you could be in a great party and nothing, and everything's, your family's there, everybody's there, it's complete, and you're just like,
ugh. You're not there.
Yep.
I mean, you're physically there.
You're physically
present.
You're not present. That's what grief does. Grief does actually void you out of your own body. So grief from years ago can have you with dis-ease. And I talk about this in a book that I've written several years ago called The Keys to the Kingdom, and how all that uneasiness inside of you makes you very uneasy. And I talk about migraines. It's my going against the grains of something that I believe, I know, I feel that's right. I'm going to go against it. And I'm just going to do what I want. And then I end up, oh God, I don't know what this is. And you know to your whole heart that it's wrong. You feel intuition-wise that it's wrong. And you go against it. Grief creates all of these scenarios in your life. It just keeps, you know, it goes internal. Then it's external, starts touching, you know, things start happening. So we want to, now we're at the area where we want to talk about grief and how it shows itself.
And my thing was when I started doing a vision board.
Oh, okay.
So it's like thinking with the end in mind.
Yeah.
Right? With the end in mind.
Right.
Back in college, right, I went back to college, and the professor was like, okay, we're going to, you know, think with the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, all right?
So, what does that mean?
What you want in life.
Yeah.
The house, I'm like, the house, again, conditioned. The house, the husband, the kid. Like,
right.
I already have my kids, so, and I just left the relationship. And I'm like, but I wasn't happy in there, so what do I need to do? So she spoke and said, you got to break them down. You got to break those goals.
Right.
Down. Like, what do you want? What do you want to be known for?
Right.
And start writing. How do you want, you know, people to remember you?
Right.
Do you want them to remember you as just a mom? Then embrace that. But
right.
If that's not you, ask yourself, what do you want?
Right.
What do you want? And how are you going to get there?
Right.
And be a... And hold yourself accountable.
Right.
Sometimes, even going back to a relationships, oh God, we are, some of us that fall in love.
All of us that fall in love. Say that. It's true. All of us that fall in love.
Once we fall in love, some of us just lose the sense of ourselves. And we
Could you say that again, please? Because I'm always saying that. You lose yourself. Hashtag lose yourself in love. No. Don't do it.
Love. If you think about it, all the toxic relationships, like if it didn't work out, if you put like a label on them,
you
toxic,
are right.
Like it's just not for you, and that's why it didn't work out for X, Y, and Z reason, because your spirit was there, you know. You getting out of character should not be that hard.
No.
And I'm a firm believer. I always thought that, oh no, these are problems. And no, they're not. So right now, I'm in a complete different phase where, you know what, I already grieved. I already paid. I was the miserable wife. I was the wife that, being home, doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
Cooking, cleaning, absolutely. And still get cheated on. And still get beaten on.
Thank you.
So don't come and tell me that this is my fault. Don't come and tell me nothing.
Nope.
No. He wasn't man enough for me. Right. And that's okay.
Right.
And then the next is saying that person was not for me, and that's okay.
Right. That's okay. That's okay.
And that's okay. So you move on, because you're going to find a person that's for you.
Right.
That's with you, for you,
right.
To grow with you.
Right. And you know what I found too?
It's going to take some time.
It is going to take time. But let me tell you, what I found is, through my failed marriages, what I found is, what I was lacking, I allowed.
I saw something like that.
That's scary to me. It scared me.
Your psychology, your own brain kind of brings out.
Yes, what you're missing. And it brings it out, and then it materializes. And you
attract it to
it. You're attracted to it because you're missing it. So you're always focused on what I'm missing instead of what I should be doing. I'm missing this. I need to focus on what I have, but I'm missing. I'm always thinking about what I'm missing. And guess what? It comes right into your life. It comes full force. Every relationship, every guy that I dated, I was like, oh, I felt it. I was in trauma. I was like, oh. And then I had to stop and take time for myself, because loss means taking time for yourself.
And when we don't do that.
We move on. We don't take time for ourselves. And what ends up happening, again, dis-ease, we get emotional. We start acting out and spilling on top of everybody else.
Everything just spills out through.
Everywhere, sister. Everywhere, sister. And we can act like, you know, I own my own business for many, many years. This is the first time in my 50s that I've actually worked for somebody. So just so you know, it's a transition. And whenever I am at the office, or when I was going to the office, they could tell something was wrong. Now, normally when I'm on my own, I take time out, you know, but I have to be at the office. Okay, what's going on, Edna? What's going on? Because you're not normally like this. Your aura immediately, it's like, it's there. And it can't help but spill on people, because you're normally like this, and then all of a sudden, you're like this. So people feel that. See, loss is not only you. Loss is everybody else that's connected to you. It's everybody else that's connected to you. So loss, in all this process, when we're doing all this, we got to remember that we're connected to people. And if we're at loss, and we don't have to fake that. We really don't. We need to feel it. And we need to embrace it, but we don't need to stay there. Because the longer we stay there, see, the problem with us staying there a lot of times is that we get there and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. So those two different things that's going on. When we have loss, we grieve that we're not going to see them again, or we're not going to be there again, or we're not going to do that again. We grieve that part. But then we start feeling sorry. We start having a pity party, and ego gets involved. Ego wants everybody to come and help us. You know, we're laying on the, you know, on the ground suffering, you know, and we want people to stroke us. Ego gets us into the part where we go into depression, and we forget, or we get so absorbed in it, we're like, how did we get here? Because we want everybody, oh, stroke us and stroke us and stroke us. And loss and grieving has to do with, not with the ego, it has to do with knowing where we are in our emotions and dealing with that. There, not going down street, not going, okay, the next man or the next woman or the next people or more children, not going down there, but being right in that little area. Yes. Right? Don't you think?
You're on, because then you know what that triggers? That triggers your self-pity party, your ego.
Absolutely.
It brings on the damage control syndrome that I call it, where you're always... You start training your mindset to always be on control.
Right.
I can't do this again because this has already happened to me, without realizing that you're traumatized. Right. And one thing that I learned is when I look at pictures of myself, mm-hmm. from years, I'm a person that takes a lot of pictures.
Me
of
too.
Myself, and I'm looking. I have Instagram accounts. And every 2 years, I kind of like just deactivated that one.
Right.
And I opened up
okay,
one
got you.
That's my new face. I mean, new face. This was when, you know, I was with the kids all the time.
Right.
This is not who I am anymore.
Right. I'm going to change that.
I'm going to invent a new one. And then when I was in Essex County College, you know, that's part of me. That's a big part of me.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I became involved in even more things, you know, when I went to NJCU and started being involved with my fellowships, with politics and so forth,
that's
a whole different me.
Right.
And then now it's my professional field where
right.
I got my degree, I
right.
got my career going,
right.
I got all these titles. This is the new me. But I often go back to the pictures.
Yep.
And if pictures can say words, pictures can tell yep. stories.
And
they're
they do.
All there. And I'm looking, often I find myself looking on the memories thing. I'm like, 3 years ago. Then let me look at, you know, the pictures from 3 years ago at this date.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that I doing?
Right.
5 years ago.
Right.
6 years ago.
Right.
And I look at the pictures and I'm able to look from the outside and say, I was so broken. And I didn't know it. I mean, it was there.
Resolution.
The new me.
Resolution.
Sees the old me, how broken it was.
Right.
And then you know what? And then we start thinking, I have to apologize for my behavior, for my broken
resolution.
Behavior.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You owe no one
yeah.
apologies on how you chose how to fix yourself.
Right.
Because that's what you knew at that time.
Right.
You were fixing yourself.
Right.
But you didn't know that you were fixing yourself.
Right.
You were coping.
Right.
You were processing grief
right.
without knowing
exactly.
that you had a loss.
Exactly.
And the world is very judgmental. And
yeah.
it breaks us really bad. But most importantly, because we allow it. We are taught that the opinion of others
yeah.
have so much weight
on what we do. Mm-hmm.
On our everyday, even the way we carry ourselves.
Right.
Even if someone calls us fat. Oh, wait. Oh, how are you? Oh, yeah, you've been eating more. So, what is about somebody pays over my feelings? Did you ever think that maybe it's not about eating?
Right.
But we mask it like, oh, no, she's eating more. She's gaining weight. Oh, no,
right.
she doesn't care for herself. maybe she's doing something, but nobody asks those questions, but everybody's quick to judge. Or if you're losing weight, maybe you're not eating because you're too occupied with everything that's going on that you forget to eat. And then what about when you start breaking out and your face just gets these beautiful bumps? You're like, what is this? And that's stress manifesting. That is stress manifesting through your body.
It is. It really is. Thank you, Maria. You know, we've offered a whole lot of things in this healing journey through loss. Your loss may be traumatic and life-altering, and you might be feeling loss in small and small comparisons and big comparisons, but yet you're feeling, and your feelings are real, and they should be honored. The journey of loss is very emotional, and we have to learn to go through it, and it's not all going to be correct. And like Maria said, sometimes it takes even photography and finding the ways to express ourselves through these feelings. But yet, we need to express and we need to resolve or come to a resolution no matter where we are, because we are accomplished beings and we are beings, which means ongoing, not just at one point. We are beings, human beings, on and on and on. So we have to learn to explore this grief journey with gratitude. Even though we're going through the trauma of healing, there's a trail. There's a trail. And we have to go through it in our spiritual being and not in our humanistic or egoistic process. I hope that you find hope in what Maria has said. I'm definitely having her back. I want you to know that, guys, because we can mix it up. I love her already. I will tell you, I love her already. And we'll have her back on another subject. But for right now, Maria, how can we find you? Where are you on Instagram, on social media, where are you? Let's find you.
I'm on social media.
Okay.
Maria J. Andrade.
Okay.
And my LinkedIn, same name. I mean, my Instagram, same name. I love my name.
I love my name too. I literally, in my 40s, started loving my name. I honestly love it. Love it.
Like, who are you? Well, my name is Maria. Like, that's it. That's it. My name is Maria J. Andrade.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
Get to know me. Yeah. My story is different.
But yet the same.
My story is mine.
Yes. Your story is yours. And that's what makes us all unique and original. And if we live in that story, we live another generation. This is Edna White and Maria Andrade saying,
yes.
See you next time.
See you next time.
80 years of experience, no one knows FedLife like WEPA. WEPA has covered feds and their families since 1943 with exclusive group term life insurance protection. current and former civilian federal employees can apply for up to $1.5 million in fully portable coverage that follows you wherever FedLife takes you, even if you change jobs or leave federal service. Explore coverage options now at waepa.org. WAEPA. For feds, by feds.
I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts are not only beautiful, but useful every single day. And Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. And their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. Spice Village transforms everyday spices into inspired memories filled with warmth and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lennox.com/spicevillage.